My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
Do you know the truth? Are you sure you know the truth? How do you know the truth? Welcome to our study of how to know you know the truth. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that truth is not subjective. We live in a world where people think that whatever is true for them ought to be true for everyone, or whatever is not true for them may not be true for all. But friends, the Bible is our objective moral standard. It is the sole guide and the sole truth in a world that is so caught up in difficulty and things that are not true. I want to think about the words of Jesus for a moment in John chapter 8 in verse 32. Jesus spoke of the importance of truth when he said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Friends, not only is truth something you can know, truth is something you must know if you're going to be right with God. And so we're going to offer some helps today in the hope that it will help you to know that you're right with God, in an effort so that we can understand better God's will and know the truth of God. But understand that our goal is not to determine if we can know the truth. The Scriptures teach that we can and we must know the truth to go to heaven. This is not a matter of if. And so we want to understand that we can know the truth. Ephesians 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is." You can understand God's will, and you can know what you need to know to get to heaven. Paul said in Ephesians 3, verse 4, that when we read, we can understand His knowledge and the mystery of Christ. I can read the Bible, I can come out of ignorance, and I can know what the truth is. And remember again, John 8, 32, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so please understand, it's not a matter of if. We can know the truth. Our goal today is not to determine whether or not our parents or our family or anybody else knew the truth. Regardless of what your mom and dad or someone in your family or some religious leader in your life did, that doesn't affect the truth. We're not here to determine if they knew the truth. Today we're asking, do we know the truth? You see, I won't give an account for what my parents did. I won't give an account for my friends did, what my family did. I'll only give an account for myself. Romans 14, verse 12 says we must each stand before God. We'll all stand before God individually at His judgment seat. In Luke chapter 17 or Luke chapter 16, verses 27 through 28, the rich man and Lazarus, they stood individually before God, and they were judged individually based on what they did in their life. And so I'm going to give an account of myself to God. I've got to determine whether I know the truth, not what my family did, but what did I do? Our goal today is not to debate what the truth is. In John chapter 18, verses 36 through 38, Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" Friend, we're not here today to debate what truth is. We know that the truth is God's Word. Psalm 119, 160 says, "The entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, the entirety of God's Word is truth." In John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." And so today, let's understand that the Word of God is our truth. Our goal is to discover from Scripture how a person can be sure that he knows the truth. The Bible tells us that we can know we're saved. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, John said, "These things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in His name." I can know that I've got eternal life. I can know that I'm saved. But how can I be sure? What steps must I take individually to know that I'm right with God? Let's mention, first of all, some hindrances to knowing you know the truth. There are some things that, if we're not careful, can get in the way of us understanding and knowing the truth of God's Word. We live in a world where Satan is actively trying to hinder the seekers of truth from coming to a knowledge of God's will. What are some hindrances? What are some things that might get in the way and some things that we might need to remove? First of all, a major hindrance is believing and practicing what other people tell you. Friend, if you're doing what you do because that's what you've always done, or because that's what someone told you, or that's what people do where you attend services at, that's a major hindrance to knowing the truth. We've got to understand that we must not act based on what we've always done or what people do. Rather, we need to act based on what the will of God says. I want you to think of Matthew chapter 15, in verse 14 for just a moment. As it relates to believing what others practice, look at these words. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus said, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Imagine the illustration here. It's almost humorous. You've got a blind man who's walking down the road, and there's a ditch on both sides, and he's heading right towards it, and then someone comes along finally and grabs him by the arm, and all of a sudden they both fall in the ditch. Well, the second person was blind as well. Can you imagine what it would be like if blind people went around leading blind people? Jesus is teaching us that if you believe and practice what you do because of what someone else teaches you, how can you be sure you're right? Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, we don't follow a multitude to do evil. We don't follow the crowd because the crowd is often not right in God's sight. Remember Matthew 7 verses 13 through 14? Jesus there said there are two ways a person can go. There's a wide way, a broad path, and most are going down it, and that road leads to destruction. Then there's a narrow way, a restricted path, and few there are who find it, and that's the way that leads to eternal life. And so we've got to ask ourselves, are we being hindered from knowing the truth because we're believing and practicing what others have told us? Paul had done this once in his life. In Galatians 1, verse 14, Paul said, "I exceeded beyond many of my contemporaries in my own religion because I was zealous for the tradition of my fathers." Was Paul right because he was zealous for the tradition of his fathers? No. Paul was actually living in sin. He was wrong. He was persecuting the church of God. But you know what? Paul was doing that because he was believing and practicing what others had taught him. Don't take what your parents or friends tell you to be the truth, friend. Just because someone who is close to you is doing something doesn't mean that's right. Just because your mom and dad do that doesn't mean it's right. Don't just blindly accept what religious leaders tell you. There is so much confusion in the religious world. There are so many people with so many different messages. One person will get up and tell you one thing, another will say something else. Don't just blindly accept what people tell you. That's a hindrance to knowing the truth. But then there's a second hindrance to knowing the truth. Human tradition and my own personal bias will hinder me from knowing the truth. If I put my trust in what others believe, in human tradition, in human tradition, what we've always done, or what I like, or what feels good to me, then I need to realize that that is going to hinder me, very likely, from knowing the truth. In Jesus' time, one of the things He despised the most were the people who put their trust in traditions more than the Word of God. The Jews were well known for this. They had their traditions. You've got to wash up to the elbow. You've got to wash your pitchers and pots. You've got to wash your couches before you can sit on them. Old Law never commanded that, but that was their tradition. And Jesus spoke of them as hypocrites. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Jesus said, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Jesus said, "You're hypocrites. You claim that you love me. You claim that you want to follow me, yet your heart is far from me. Why? In vain you worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus over and over again said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites." He said, "You go halfway around the world to make a proselyte and make him twice as much the son of hell as yourself. You want to cleanse the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones." These people were completely focused on their tradition. You know, there's going to be a theme song in hell, and it's going to go like this. This will be the theme song in hell's chorus. "That's the way we've always done it." Friends, the people who end up hell, some of them are going to be there because they said, "We're going to do this because that's the way we've always done it." There's going to be another song in hell, and it's entitled, "That's the way I like it." Oh, there are a lot of people who have tried this, and it never worked. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu found a new way to light the fire, evidently. They offered a strange fire to the Lord, which He had not commanded them, and as a result, fire rained down from heaven upon them. They liked it that way. That was the way they wanted to do it. Maybe it was easier. Maybe it was more convenient. But friend, it wasn't advantageous to their soul. It wasn't something that helped them to know the truth. I think of King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, verses 20 through 22. Saul had been told, you go in and you completely wipe out the people. Don't take anything. As he comes back, Samuel hears the bleating of the oxen or the lambs, and he sees the garments, and the king is left. And Saul says, well, we brought all this back to offer it to God. We were going to sacrifice it to Him. We were going to help God out a little bit. And Samuel said to Saul, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of lambs. Don't let human tradition or personal bias, what we like or what we've always done, get in the way of you knowing the truth. Another hindrance to knowing the truth is putting our faith in the uninspired books of men. There have been multitudes of books written by men. Books written on salvation, books written on Christian living, books written on how to worship God correctly. But friend, there is only one book that we need to follow to get to heaven. When I put my faith and my practice in the writings of men, whether it be a catechism, whether it be a book of discipline, whether it be some kind of creed book, when I start putting my faith in what it says and not putting my trust in the Bible, then I have departed from knowing the truth. You see, the Scripture teaches us that we need to focus on the Word of God, the Bible. A great question is asked in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul makes this statement. He says, for what does the Scripture say? You can't find a better mindset than that. Forget about all the writings of men. That's not important. Let God be true and every man a liar, as Paul said in Romans 3. We need to ask, what does the Scripture say? We need to ask the question of Jeremiah 37, verse 17. Is there any word from the Lord? Has God spoken on this subject? And remember, 2 Peter 1, 3 says, God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge of Him who called us. Let's understand today that the Bible is the only inspired roadmap to heaven. Do you believe that? That if you take the Bible and you do exactly what it says, without human tradition, without personal bias, not adding to or taking away, if you just take this book, the Bible, and do exactly what it says, do you believe you'll get to heaven? It's the perfect roadmap. It is God's power to salvation, Romans 1, verse 16. It is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Jesus, Hebrews 7, verse 25. James said in James 1, verse 21, that we're to receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save our souls. It's the Word of God by which we are born again, 1 Peter 1, and verse 23. And friends, it's the only way you can know that you're right with God. You see, books of men cannot save your soul. You may read the books and writings of men until your eyes hurt, but you'll never find the way of salvation. This one book, the words that are contained in it, will only be the book that gives you salvation. I want you to think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 concerning the power and the eternal importance of God's Word. Jesus said this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. This world which we live in with all the fleshly things, heaven and earth, all that we see, all the books of men are one day going to be burned up with a fervent heat. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. But the Scripture teaches that the one book that is going to last throughout time, the one guide, is the Word of God.